Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. Susan Crabtree is going to join me in a couple of moments. We've got a lot to discuss with her. As many of you guys know, she's an incredible journalist over at Real Clear Politics. She's their national political correspondent. But I wanted to get her to weigh in because I saw she was talking about on X in regards to the report that I broke, as well as Miranda Devine and first Tucker Carlson, about Thomas Crooks and his social media posts. Because, you know, Susan has been one of the great journalists who's been out there going through the Secret Service failures that day. And so it'd be great to get her insight on all of this, because most of us are still scratching our head, like wondering what the heck happened with all the security failures. It's really hard to wrap your mind around the fact that this is all just a conglomerate of failures on an accidental level. So we'll ask her about just that. Plus, there's some other things that she's weighing in on as well that I thought would be very, very interesting to discuss with her. So she'll join us in just a few moments. But I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update. We got an alert that the White House just pushed out. President Donald Trump has just spoken with the Chinese President Xi Jinping via phone today, this morning. It's according to the White House. Directly, the conversation included discussions about U.S.-Chinese relations, Taiwan, and Ukraine. Again, that's according to, this is the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. President Xi Jinping outlined China's principal position on the Taiwan question. He underscored that Taiwan's return to China is something that's never going to happen. And he just kept outlining all of that. So interesting report coming to us now. We'll learn more, I'm sure, over the next few hours. That just happened about 20 minutes ago. The announcement was made. So we'll keep our eye on just that. Also, we'll be keeping our eye on a couple of other stories as well in regards to the war in Ukraine. 60 Minutes had a good piece outlining, sadly, it's just one side of the war, which I don't like. But the Ukrainian side of the war, they talk to those who have lost loved ones in all of this. And I think it's important to highlight the humanitarian issue. You know, according to Russia, Ukraine has lost 1.7 million people in all of this. Again, that's Russian numbers, so we don't know how truthful that is. It doesn't include the loss that they have also received in all of this. It's just devastating all around. This war needs to end. President Trump is pushing for just that, so we'll give you the latest on that front. We'll also be talking about a couple of other things. There was this story that I've been talking about for quite some time now in regard to Tyson Food. Now, they deny using illegal aliens as labor for their food processing facilities, their meat processing facilities. And now they're closing down one of their plants. It's very, very interesting. I'll give you all the details, though, into this, because, you know, President Trump, as many of you guys know, he's calling for the DOJ to investigate beef prices and what's going on there, because we've actually seen beef prices increase rather than go back down. And he believes that there's a couple of key companies out there doing just that, that are ones pushing for all of this. And so we'll detail that for you guys in a bit as well. Also, I've got like a bunch of, I don't even know if we'll make it through all of this, because there were so many stupid sound bites from Democrats over the weekend. So many things to dive into, including like people like Jen Psaki saying that like the media is softballing President Donald Trump. I mean, it's so outrageous, mainly from the fact that if you sat back and watched what happened under the Biden regime years, you know damn well that they were not only softballing questions, but they were forced to hand over their questions to Jen Psaki before the president, the alleged president, came out to take questions. In fact, he was given a little sheet with photos and names and their seat assignments because he was just so gone. So now she wants to criticize the media and how they're treating President Trump. He probably has been the most beaten down president when it comes to the mainstream media and their lies. So again, more nonsense spewing from them. Also, Zohran Mamdani, it's kind of interesting when you look at what he was saying when he was in front of President Trump and how like nice he wanted to sound. Now he's a big tough boy because he's no longer in front of the president of the United States. So he's been doing his media tour on Sunday, and he all of a sudden sounds like he's got a set of cojones that we all know he doesn't have. Because, of course, he's not in front of President Donald Trump. So we'll play those two sound bites for you, because when you listen to them both clearly, you understand that we're dealing with a coward here. So there's much to dive into in just a bit. Do not go anywhere. Got a lot to kick off in the third hour of the program. So we'll see you on the flip side in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com. If you haven't done it already, make sure you do just that. That's how you stay in touch with us with whatever happens next over at alexjonesapp.com. Download it now. So you could be on the receiving end of all of the information that the media doesn't want you to see, of course. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. We've been kicking off the show today. We've led in with the first hour. We're trying to debunk a lot of the nonsense going on, and I think we've done a great job at that, as many of you guys know. I released a report, and it wasn't just me. I had incredible journalists who were also involved in all of this. Miranda Devine and Tucker Carlson releasing a report regarding Thomas Crooks. We got a hold of a document that had detailed very lengthy, all of Thomas Crooks' alleged social media accounts. And specifically, it outlined a lot of the comments that were made on his YouTube page before it was pulled down by YouTube and several other accounts. Now, you know, I've detailed this for you guys as well. And I know Tucker did in his piece as well, Tucker dropping it first, of course. But we all tried to reach out to the FBI for comment before we released our report. And Tucker said that when he reached out to the FBI regarding the YouTube comments that specifically highlight a timeline as to when Thomas Crooks was, in fact, a Trump supporter to when he significantly changed and he was no longer, it sounded like, a Trump supporter in his YouTube comments, and why the FBI was not reporting any of this information. In fact, the last things we heard was from the former FBI was in regards to Crooks being just a Trump supporter. And that's kind of how they left things hanging. They said he had a very limited amount of social media posts. So when Tucker reached out about it, this FBI said, well, how do you know what you got is true and it's authentic? Now, I've got the same stuff that Tucker got, and I know that it is real. I've asked my experts, of course, to weigh in on all of this, and they all said it was real. And then so I started putting out screenshots that I have. And so did Miranda Devine. And if you're wondering how the FBI responded to all of this, well, unfortunately, even though I asked them for comment beforehand, and they just did not respond, they sent this over to Fox News. The title of it says, Correcting False Media Reporting on Thomas Crooks. Now, again, why would you put this out when we all extended our arm and asked you for comment prior to releasing this? The FBI ignoring us. Well, unfortunately for the FBI, we have screenshots, and there's plenty of them that we did not release. I know I didn't release everything. Because I had a really bad feeling that there was something going on here and they were going to try to paint us out to be a bunch of liars. So I want to talk about this because it's a very specific wording in this release that the FBI did. The FBI investigation revealed no direct communication between an individual and then the other individual we talk about extensively, Willie Tepes. Now, Tucker Carlson outlined him to have potential ties to Antifa. According to my sources, that is not true. They believe that they're also speaking to somebody who might actually be Willie specifically, and he's trying to clear the air. So we will hold that out there for now. But ultimately, the FBI saying that there was no, and this is a key word, no direct communication. Now, of course, what does the FBI mean by that? Well, they included screenshots, but those screenshots included in this release that they handed over to Fox News do not highlight the very, very important screenshots that we have. What am I referring to that? Well, Crooks did reach out to this Willie guy, and he did respond. Now, I posted just one of those screenshots that I had Friday evening on X, and Miranda Devine posted two more that she had. So why is the FBI trying their very best to discredit us? Listen, none of us are trying to look for a gotcha moment with the FBI. These are our friends. We endorsed them for these positions, and we were very excited when they got into the agency. But I'm scratching my head wondering why people who have my phone number, why wouldn't you reach out if you felt like there was some miscommunication? Or information that we're putting out that was false? Are you trying to discredit us? And then I have to wonder, did FBI even get this? Their leadership even get this? Are there people working behind the scenes to sabotage the credibility between both Kash Patel and Dan Bongino? Well, I've got many questions, unfortunately, that still go unanswered. And as we continue to dig through all of this, I have to say it's very disheartening to see what's been going on right now with the FBI and their efforts to discredit journalists who they once would call me. I mean, Dan Bongino, I still have it on play, called me a very credible and a great journalist and recommended his audience to follow me. That was just days before he left and went into the FBI. So all of this is likely just a miscommunication, possibly. And unfortunately, those involved have not yet responded to our request for comment or even picked up the phone to give us a call. Joining me now to discuss all things related to Thomas Crooks is Susan Crabtree. She is one of the incredible journalists over Real Clear Politics. She's a national political correspondent. She's also the author of Fool's Gold as well, and she joins us now. Susan, I'm excited to have you on the show today. I saw you were talking about this on X, and I wanted to get your take on all of this because, you know, just alone, Miranda Devine has a lot of credibility as a journalist. She's someone who several high-profile officials over the administration sit down with, and they do these extensive discussions with her on her podcast. And I think it's actually one of the better podcasts, the best podcasts out there right now, because she asks the really good questions. And she's not like trying to do a gotcha moment. She's just trying to understand where they're at. And Tucker Carlson, obviously giving the FBI a lane to kind of issue credit or issue any type of comment regarding his report before it came out. And they just decided to challenge him on that. What do you make of what we're learning now from the FBI in regards to them releasing these bullet points to Fox News over the week?
Well, first of all, Brianna, thanks so much for having me and congratulations on the story. Mm-hmm. I was sort of just shell-shocked by this story. I mm-hmm. thought, it's what a bombshell. Tucker Carlson first, and then he, blew the lid off, and then you all blew it off further over the weekend and on Monday. And I was writing on X, that this is something I hoped that Dan and Cash would pursue or were pursuing. So that's why they didn't want to talk about it publicly. But that doesn't seem to be the case after a week now that the story's been out there in various forms. And it's incredibly disheartening to me because Miranda called me on Saturday. I had already posted about it and I was getting some blowback, to be quite honest. And as you know, Dan Bongino had me on his show multiple times, recommended me. I thought we had a great relationship over time. Of course I'm going to be a journalist first. I want to make sure I had every hope that, as you did, that we would see reforms out of this FBI. And we have. But this particular issue of Thomas Crooks has been a sort of this weird mystery, and it didn't need to be. I thought that when Dan and Cash would came in, we were going to get more information about his social media footprint that the previous administration, Christopher Wray, downplayed as being very small. But we now know it was not small at all. And these YouTube, specifically the comments on YouTube, should have been very obvious to the FBI to go back extensively and look at that, because the T-shirt that Thomas Crooks is wearing when he shot at Donald Trump and killed Corey Comparatore, a rally goer. Sadly, he's wearing a T-shirt that has the emblem, the logo of this site called Demolition Ranch, where it's a YouTube site where he posted these comments. So isn't that true, Brianna? Didn't he post the comments on that particular website? So it's obviously a clue that he cares a lot about that particular YouTube website. It's a firearms website. I mean, this isn't rocket science. It's pretty logical.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you pointed that out, because that's a key element to all of this. And as we're going through the comments too, I mean, the comments from 2019 are extremely violent coming from Crooks. He is sitting there and he's specifically outlining shooting Ilhan Omar and then sending her corpse back to Somalia. Now, that's something that we are strongly, strongly condemn. That is something that should have been looked at. And it's really hard to understand as to how the FBI wouldn't look into all of this, because it's not just one comment, it's several comments that are being made. But you've highlighted the security failures that day. So it's not just the YouTube comments that took place that are just got us scratching our head wondering where was the intervention here. There were several points where the FBI Secret Service could have stepped in. A lot of questionable moves at that. I want to give you the floor just to highlight the physical that day security failures that happened there in Butler.
Well, we now know, I've written a lot about this, that DEI played a huge role in this issue. And Kimberly Cheadle and Joe Biden prioritized that over security, basic security measures. So they were treating Donald Trump as a former president, not as this guy who broke the mold, who deserved every asset and was facing an Iranian threat among many, many others. So they gave more assets, more high-level assets to a Jill Biden event that was indoors with 400 people that same night in Pittsburgh. And I was the first person to break that story. Mm-hmm. You have three women agents, one of them incredibly inexperienced, Latina lesbian, known for her partying, who was in charge of the Butler security. She had no business being in this position. And I've written about this extensively, but she also had supervisors, okay? Male supervisors that had the experience, and they signed off on the Butler plan without placing an individual on that AGR building. And we can go over it and over it again, but these two supervisors who signed off on the plan and even walked through with the plan got promotions. They got no disciplinary action. I have been less hard on these women, these three women that were in charge of the site, because they were put in a position to fail. Now, all of this had to do with Kimberly Cheadle's DEI priorities over security priorities. So they say at the Secret Service that they're threat-based, but in this instance, they were anything but threat-based. And you can ask me if that was political. I do think that Kimberly Cheadle hated Donald Trump. And I've always said I would go where the story leads. You know, I'm not going to say that she purposely did this, but was it negligence? Absolutely, it was negligence.
Well, she hasn't really been called in front of the American people, I believe, to answer a lot of these key questions. I think it was a closed door congressional update that she gave, but I don't think we've actually seen her on the record. Is that true? Maybe I missed that.
No, she did go on the record with one hearing, and they asked her what was on her phone. Was interestingly enough, when she got this terrible look on her face, have you been communicating with the White House about what you're allowed to say here? Because, you know, she's been talking about this silly business about it was on the roof was sloped. So after that disastrous hearing on the House side over the weekend, she said she wasn't going to resign after that. But then over the weekend, she did resign. And I truly believe it was because I think it was one of the congresswomen who asked her, what exactly can you have? Can we have your phone? Do you have signal on your phone? Are you communicating with the White House about this? And she, I think that really rattled her. But it was a disastrous performance in front of the House. I think it was the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's incredible. And I've always had an issue with these officials using Signal, even with the new administration. As you know, when we submit FOIA requests, that's the Freedom of Information Act requests, they could sift through emails and get us what we need through the emails, but they have no way of going through Signal communications to do just that. And so it does violate the FOIA angle to all of this. And so it's deeply concerning that we still allow it to this day. It shouldn't be allowed by any government official at this point. Plus, we don't even know how truly safe it is. I don't think any of that is really safe. And so I think that's important to highlight. But, you know, you also brought up obviously we discussed the Secret Service failures that day and the level of Secret Service that Trump had that day. I also think it's worth noting that they knew that there were active threats against many candidates regarding just the level of threats. You know, RFK Jr., and I don't know how this wasn't a bigger story. There was a man who was armed and who did show up one of his rallies. And unfortunately, still, Joe Biden refused to give him a Secret Service detail, even though that was unheard of. And so, you know, when we sit here and question whether or not any of this was political, I think for sure this has to be political because he never received the right amount of security, any at all. And he was forced to actually cough up security at his own expense to drain his campaign funds, of course. And they left him out there, even knowing that there was active threats against his life. There was an individual who showed up armed, who we still really haven't heard much on that front either. I mean, it's pretty disgusting that this was all happening. Do you see that any of these individuals in the near future with this new administration are going to be held accountable for the Secret Service failures, not only for President Trump, but also for RFK Jr., who was obviously being discriminated against because he was running against Joe Biden?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he was being discriminated against. It was outrageous. I mean, this is someone whose father and uncle were assassinated. Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous. So it was they were playing favorites the whole time and playing politics with national security, people's threats about getting assassinated. And then they didn't provide the security necessary for Donald Trump. Thank goodness they provided the counter snipers, but it was 2 days late. The counter snipers didn't have enough time to develop their plan. They usually have five days to do it. Mm-hmm. They only had 2 days, and the plan was completely botched. It was basic luck. And they let him, Thomas Crooks, you know, have a lot of time on that roof before. And it was really the local law enforcement that distracted him by climbing up. That's the reason why. I don't think it was, you know, Donald Trump was survived, luckily, just barely. And then a lot of his rally goers, the people there supporting him, they could have been, there a lot more of them could have been shot too. Thomas Crooks had devices, explosive devices that he did not detonate. They were in the off position in his car. So he wanted mass casualties out of this. And thank goodness he wasn't a professional. This seemed like, according to what we know now, and Dan and Cash are saying he's a lone gunman. You know, I think we just need to, I don't know if they've had enough time, and they go into how many people interviewed, if they've personally had enough time to clean up the FBI out of these, you know, Biden holdovers, and also, you know, to really scrutinize whether this investigation was done completely, because I don't get why they didn't tell the American public anything about these other YouTube comments that you've received, Miranda and Tucker received. I just don't understand. I'm very into showing, not telling. As a journalist, that's what you have always been told by my editors. You need to show, not tell your readers, your audience, why they should believe something. And it doesn't seem like, you know, Dan and Cash are taking that to heart. They just want to tell us it was a lone gunman without providing the evidence. Well, now their story's undermined by this new evidence, and they're getting all, you know, upset about it. Well, they should have taken the initiative to provide more information about Thomas Crooks from the get-go.
Yeah, and I think we're going to learn more about all of this. You know, if they would have called us and said, hey, listen, like, or the comms team, we don't have to hear from them directly. Like, we're not on our high horses here. If somebody from the comms team would have said, hey, listen, we're still working this. There's a bunch of individuals who were investigating involved in this, and, you know, we're not ready to release this information. Then yeah, we would have maybe had some more restraint, just held back on this, because I think we understand the national security level. But to not respond, to then give a snarky little comment back to Tucker as if he's somehow not going to be credible enough or be able to verify these comments before bringing them to air and cast doubt on him, I don't think that's okay to do. And I think we're worthy of an explanation. I also don't like, and it's no shade to the reporter, but I don't like that they go to Fox with all of these types of things. So there's very little pushback that goes on then. They just hand them all the talking points, and Fox says, exclusive, here we have this, rather than the rebuttal, rather than, I mean, Miranda Devine works for the New York Post. Let's just have Miranda respond before we release those. Let's see what Miranda's got to see if there's any type of maybe missteps here, because it's quite possible that there is. And again, I don't think that Dan and Cash Patel are two bad individuals. I do think that there's an active effort to sabotage them. And I've seen it firsthand, even with the, you know, we can talk about the Jeffrey Epstein thing real quick. Remember when Dan came out and they had that interview saying, you guys are going to not believe the footage that you got? He said it on Fox and Friends. We got the footage about from Epstein's cell, the outside of the cell. We're going to release it to you. I don't think he realized that there was a couple of minutes clipped out of that, which, you know, gave him a big slap on the wrist for credibility there. So I do think there's something going on behind the scenes. I'll let you weigh in on that, possibly.
Yeah, I do. I do think there was something weird going on with Senator Johnson's office. He was trying to pursue information from both the FBI and the Secret Service. And he says that the FBI was working with him when it comes to Thomas Crooks and information that hasn't been released about Thomas Crooks in the springtime. Mm-hmm. But then that all stopped in around April, May. He actually had to subpoena the Secret Service for the disciplinary actions that were being taken against the six individuals that were responsible for the Butler failures. Now, I would put the supervisors in that too. And those two got promotions. One of them is ahead of the inspections department right now, which is kind of a joke considering, you know, he's ahead of investigating discipline, misconduct at the Secret Service. And to me, in my estimation, he was involved in the misconduct. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the Secret Service. Miranda Devine called me on Saturday after she had this big scoop. She was developing it. And she said, you know, did the Secret Service know about Thomas Crooks ahead of time? And I said, you know, I thought they did not know. And that's what was established with the FBI as well. But I called my sources to make sure I called very well-positioned sources, even back into the 2020 timeframe when he had these YouTube posts. Did they know about those YouTube posts? No. I'm being told no. So I think it's an effort to sort of cover their tracks because they did not find him early. And the investigation could have been avoided if the Secret Service and the FBI had, you know, flagged those, or if someone had flagged those to these agencies, and they should have been looking, and especially on YouTube. It's such a public open forum. And they were these posts were so, you know, like you said, flagrant in their violence and their politically violent rhetoric. So, you know, what's going on behind the scenes at FBI, I just think they like to control the narrative, and they're a little bit embarrassed that they didn't know about these other comments. But instead, like you said, it used to be old school journalism. It used to be you go to the people that have the information and you provide them. You say, hold off. This is a national security issue. We're going to look into it. We're going to provide you the information. You don't go to your, you know, basically this Brooke Singman is the one who gets all the scoops out of the FBI, mm-hmm. but she didn't break this big story. So you're going to go back to the people that broke it and get and work with them, because they are the ones that can ask the right questions and have the credibility to, you know, correct the story, work with them. This is, I mean, there shouldn't be an adversarial relationship between the FBI and Tucker Carlson, myself, and Miranda Devine and yourself. Mm-hmm. We are people that are wanting to see them succeed and believe they will succeed. Same with the Secret Service. But I'm seeing this similar thing going on with Secret Service. They don't like it when journalists get the information. They want to control the narrative. And certainly I wanted to see reforms out of the Secret Service. And I haven't seen the level of reforms that we've seen from Pete Hegseth at the Secretary of War, certainly when it comes to DEI and some of the really necessary things that need to happen to help recruiting and retention at the Secret Service and protect our continuity of government.
Yeah, and I think it's a top priority. That should be a top priority for all these people right now. And I think it's interesting because while we sit back and we watch, you know, a lot of us, it's easy just to get rid of these people who have been elevated to these positions of power. I mean, a lot of them are doing media interviews, you know, detailing how ultimately there are DEI hires. And so you think you'd sift through that and that'd be your top guys to pick off. Anytime I reach out to the FBI too for comment regarding certain particular people to see if they still have employment with the agency, they tell me they can't comment on personnel matters. So yeah. I want to sit here and tell people like what kind of incredible work they're doing behind the scenes to purge off of these people who are politically driven and got into these positions of power. But unfortunately, you know, we don't have that luxury because they don't want to answer these tough questions. I mean, even in regards to the J6 pipe bomb, we're short on time, unfortunately. But, you know, I reached out for a comment in regards to Steve Baker's report over at The Blaze to see what they would say about this. And they gave me a vague statement saying, I guess, that they're still investigating and they're still looking into it. So, again, it's not a direct response, and it creates more confusion rather than clarity. And that's not why we're all here. So I don't know what more to say about the agency at this point. But Susan, I want to thank you for joining us today. You do an incredible job over on Real Clear Politics, of course, doing the breakdowns that the American people need to see. So we're very thankful for having you on the show today. Folks, give her a follow on X. It is an incredible one. Real Clear Politics is where you can find her reporting. She does a great job at that. Fool's Gold is also her book that you could get right now. It is now available. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate your time as always. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on. where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product that has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal, and every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a loss leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing them of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Auctions Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at theauctionstore.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars as we fight to stay on the air, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. Again, I don't own theauctionstore.com. I don't own the Auctions Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there and be the news director, and we're going to continue on, and they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, because we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates, you share them everywhere, you take the clips, you take the articles, you take the video links, and that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money, so we sell you great products that really work, so it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high-quality food at reasonable prices, so you want to come back, there's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the Ultra Methylene Blue or the Sea Moss or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWar has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here. But you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this, the other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And God bless you all.
Into the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping out with us today. Oh, it's been a busy, busy Monday morning. We're hoping that you enjoyed the show thus far. We've been digging into the truth on a lot of key issues. Most importantly, digging into the FBI, who decided to, on Friday evening, try to debunk the reporting that not only I did, that Tucker Carlson and Miranda Devine did. And my good friend Ken Silva over at Headline USA just found another very misleading claim that was given over to Fox News. And I wanted to highlight this for you because he put this out in a tweet, and I find it deeply concerning. In this post, Ken Silva says more misinformation about Kash Patel and obviously Dan Bongino with their Fox interview about Thomas Crooks. They said that every single round was accounted for. But apparently that's not the case. The House Task Force report seems to argue different. It says that one of the bullets Crooks fired was not recovered. Now, that is in the House Task Force report. Something strangely enough, the FBI didn't know about, apparently, because if you look at the Fox News report, and again, this is why, as you just heard Susan Crabtree say, you talk to reporters that are reporting on this, you probably could have pushed back a little bit and offered a rebuttal, but they didn't do that. And again, they said that they told Fox, this is an official, said that every single round was accounted for, is the exact quote on Fox. So more garbage being spewed by the FBI, and it's very unfortunate, of course, because we don't want to be the ones going after these people. But I guess we have to. I guess we have to, holding them accountable regardless of if they're friends or not. It's something that you're supposed to do as journalists. And so we'll continue to do just that. But there's also more things we want to dive into that we didn't get to thus far. I want to talk about the 60-minute piece that aired yesterday. Now, unfortunately, they don't do real journalism where you interview both sides and you get both perspectives on an issue. They are angled towards the narrative. And they did just that. But I think it's important to hear, just because I am someone who is all about the preservation of human lives, and watching what's gone on between both Russia and Ukraine has been devastating on both fronts, because so many millions of Ukrainians and Russians have lost their lives in this. We heard that Russia is claiming that 1.7 million Ukrainians have died in this war, and we still don't have an exact number of how many casualties Russia has suffered, but we could only assume that the numbers are through the roof, and it's devastating to see, absolutely devastating to see, because it didn't have to happen in the first place. But I think it's important to hear from the Ukrainian victims in all of this and the devastation that they've had to endure. Many of them are just innocent bystanders who are just walking around and getting, or trying to avoid, missiles heading their way. They're not serving in the military. They are just regular civilians. And this is something they've had to endure. So take a listen to clip 10 as the victims speak out.
I have never seen such a horror in my life. Doval said, lots of people were lying on the pavement. I saw that bus that had burned. Doval told us it was all mud, dust, blood, crying, and bodies. You seem to be saying this isn't war. This is murder. In my opinion, yes. It is just unimaginable to use such powerful, high-precision weapons in the central part of a city. Natalia Terninska told us, they're killing civilians. It's elimination of the Ukrainian nation. They're just wiping our cities off the face of the earth. We interviewed Maxim and Natalia, Tatiana and Lisa, in the conference center destroyed by the first missile. We could see where the warhead crashed through to the basement. The Russians claim they were aiming at a military award ceremony, but prosecutor Vitaly Doval says that doesn't explain how no troops were hit and why two missiles fell on civilians. You have quite a stake in the future of Ukraine, and I wonder, what is your hope? Tetiana told us, I would like the Russians to answer for what they've done. I don't wish death on those people. I want them to learn how it feels to live in fear. I wish Ukraine could see the end of the war. And I want people to be able to live in their own homes. That's it. Near our interview, we found a room where it looked to us like a victim may have fallen. Close by, in the bomb dust on the table, someone had drawn a line. We don't know what they meant, but with so many innocent victims murdered without justice, perhaps the question was why.
Now, obviously, this war has been absolutely devastating to sit back and watch the human lives that have been lost. President Trump still advocating to conclude this war by bringing both sides to the peace table agreement. Ukraine has been pushing back on a lot of this, so we'll continue to watch it as it unravels. But again, folks, President Trump, last we heard, apparently gave Ukraine a deadline of Thanksgiving to turn over and to say whether or not they accept the agreement thus far. Now, we'll continue to watch that, of course, and bring you the very latest as it develops. But man, oh man, do we really have to end this war? It is absolutely going on for too long, and too many lives have been lost, and so many have been destroyed. And it's devastating to sit back and watch. I want to switch gears up a little bit and talk about George Soros and the funded groups that he continues to spew money into, because they slapped another lawsuit. This lawsuit has been slapped on DHS for finding illegals who failed to self-deport. A group backed by Soros has brought on this class action lawsuit. It's to prevent Homeland Security from finding illegal aliens who refused to self-deport. The lawsuit was filed on Thursday by two illegals, it sounds like, or just two immigrant women, they say specifically. And the Legal Resource Center. Now, apparently, they've received millions of dollars in annual funding from Soros. That's according to our own report that's up right now over on Infowars.com. And it's done by none other than Raw Egg Nationalist, who will be joining us tomorrow to detail not only this report that he's been working on, but several others. And he's been doing incredible work up to this point. Well, I mean, he's always doing incredible work, but he's been doing incredible work over at Infowars.com. And there's a couple of stories that I actually reached out to him on, and I want to come on to detail for you all today. But he will be joining us tomorrow to do just that. All right, let's talk about Tyson Foods. This one's an important one. Tyson Foods is one of the largest meat suppliers, obviously. And, you know, there's been a lot of issues called into question. You know, last year I did a report saying that Tyson Foods was bringing in illegal aliens. They were closing down one plant and then moving that plant or expanding that plant. I believe it was in the New York region where they were able to bring in illegal aliens to work on that plant. Now, they since denied it, but I believe it was the Bloomberg also reporting as well. That claim that they were employing non-U.S. citizens to work on that plant. Now, obviously, what does that mean? That means cheaper labor, potentially really bad work conditions. You can get away with it, of course, because these people do not want to be deported. And so, you know, we all broke this report down. Hopefully that was a Tennessee plant, by the way. They denied it, just so you know. And they're also working with ICE to make sure, this is according to the ICE website, to make sure that those who work over at these Tyson food processing centers are actually valid when it comes to their immigration status and their work papers. But interesting enough, there's a new report out saying that America's largest meat supplier is planning to close one of its largest beef processing centers in Nebraska. Now, they're claiming this is due to a cattle shortage. And the U.S. Squeezes when it comes to meat packing companies. Now, again, this plant that's in Nebraska that they're closing down has roughly 3,000 people there and can slaughter about 5,000 cattle a day. So this could possibly be a massive, massive issue. Now, Tyson is the biggest four meat packing companies that process 85% of beef in the U.S. And so having this potential closure is very, very concerning. Especially at a time when the White House is trying to crunch down and figure out why beef prices haven't come down, but instead have gone up. This is a question that I've wondered for quite some time now. I know I've spoken to you guys about it. Before on the show, I was giving you my advice when it comes to shopping and trying to find some affordability when it comes to beef prices. And I told you about the rib roast. Most stores right now have it on sale for $7.99 here in Texas, a pound. That is not ideal. It is probably the least expensive route to go through, so it's a good price these days. But I mean, I remember 2-3 years ago, it was probably like $4.99, $3.99 a pound. You were able to get a nice chunk of it for less than $25. And so we've seen the price just completely skyrocket. And so most Americans are deeply upset by this, and they want answers. And President Trump has instructed the DOJ to go out there and just specifically outline what's going on here. The antitrust division, Gail Slater, is actually going to be in charge of that. And she is an incredible, incredible woman. So I look forward to seeing what she uncovers, because, you know, I've had the honor of interviewing her. I've known her prior to all of this, and she's a great person. This is something that she takes very, very seriously. Now, we've spoken to, obviously, cattle ranchers who tell us there is a very limited group of individuals who go out there, and they are the ones who are kind of controlling a lot of this. And they need the federal government to intervene on that and give American ranchers an advantage. But although the White House is going out there and they've launched this investigation, it's important to note that President Trump has just lifted the tariffs in regards to Brazilian beef. I reported that on X over the weekend. That is deeply concerning. Why are we lifting tariffs on not only Brazilian beef products, but also coffee was the announcement that was made as well. This happened about 4 days ago. I'm pulling up a story right now. It looks like the president of the United States on Thursday removed 40% tariffs on Brazilian food products, including beef, coffee, and fruits. It was imposed in July to punish Brazil for persecuting Jair Bolsonaro, the former president of Brazil. Now, interesting enough, folks, he has lifted and removed these tariffs. But may I remind you that Bolsonaro was just arrested this weekend. We actually had the story we're going to cover as well for you. Let me bring that up as well. Bolsonaro is supposed to turn himself in a few days, but the very corrupt Supreme Court, I should say, had Jair Bolsonaro arrested out of fear that he might flee. So why are we sitting here and lifting the sanctions, the tariffs, I should say, that were imposed, and then sitting back and watching the Brazilian government go out there and arrest Jair Bolsonaro? He did not try to lead a coup. They convict him of that, of course, in the very corrupt Brazilian courts. They don't really have much of a way in checks and balances over there. There's no jury of your peers. It is a very corrupt Supreme Court that decides to lock you up if you go against the regime. Obviously, we know the current leader of Brazil is someone with a very dark, dark history. In fact, he has a criminal record. But for some reason, they were able to sit here and to throw him in prison. So now he's been arrested. And he's going to be spending 27 years in prison. I've said it before, I'll keep repeating it. Jair Bolsonaro, the reason why this is so relevant is, number one, there were several people on the ground in Brazil who truly believe that our own CIA was on the ground trying to do its very best to infiltrate the outcome and to affect the outcome of their runoff election. There are many people in Brazil who said that Bolsonaro was threatened to not challenge the election results by our own CIA. Again, our own government obviously not confirming any of that, so we just have that to go on for now. But Bolsonaro is someone who is loved in Brazil. Brazilians love this man. He was seen as the Trump of Brazil. And then the Supreme Court just decided they were going to arrest him and throw him in prison a little bit sooner than expected. So he has been arrested over the weekend. Why are we allowing this to happen? You know, we know President Trump has gone on a call recently with the current leader of Brazil, one who I believe, in my opinion, was installed rather than elected by the Brazilian people. But he wasn't allowed. Bolsonaro wasn't allowed to challenge it. And just for speaking out, well, now he's facing 27 years in prison. Not facing, actually. He was sentenced. We've talked about it extensively here. I've had Brazilians on this show who are Brazilians who unfortunately cannot go back to their own country anymore because they will also be thrown in prison. Bolsonaro allies who have not been charged with the crime were thrown in jail to shake them up and get them to turn against the former president. We've had their attorneys on the show. So President Trump lifting the 40% tariffs on beef products, coffee, and fruit coming from Brazil into the United States. But folks, he imposed those tariffs because they were going after Bolsonaro, and it hasn't stopped. Bolsonaro, a man who has a lot of health issues, has now officially been arrested. He was arrested over the weekend. That's because the Supreme Court in Brazil ordered him to be arrested because they thought he's going to flee. Now, there's no other way to hold these courts accountable in Brazil. There needs to be a global intervention. Now, we're not calling for boots on the ground. That'd be foolish. But we are calling for maybe don't get rid of those tariffs just yet. So unfortunately, someone who was viewed in a lot of the same similarities that we saw play out with President Trump, they happened to Bolsonaro. You know, Brazil had their own J6, which was fake and cooked up, of course, and meant to throw many of President Bolsonaro's allies in prison for a very long time. That was carried through. No word yet from the White House on Bolsonaro's arrest as of yet, but this is a very important one because, again, folks, this is everything that our government wanted to do to President Trump. It was done to Bolsonaro. And unfortunately for him, he doesn't have a U.S. Constitution that he could challenge a lot of this on. So it's really upsetting. But it looks like Bolsonaro is now going to be spending 27 years in prison unless there is some global pressure to release this great man. Let's bring things here back to the States. Katie Couric and Jen Psaki, obviously not very respectable women, when it comes to having a conversation in regards to political bias, they always pretend like they didn't play a key role in any of this. Speaking more so to Jen Psaki, Jen Psaki is someone who obviously was press secretary under the Biden regime years and sat there and lied to the American people every day. Now she bowed out, went to her MSNBC gig. But for some reason, she's out here criticizing, you're out here in clip 12. She's criticizing the current media and saying that they're just throwing President Trump's softball questions. Take a listen.
That I think doesn't, I think you've probably talked about this because you know well, but I don't think that's enough attention, is the way they're reshaping the people in the press briefing room. More and more of the questions in there are by sycophants, are by people who are not asking about news that the American people cares about, but they're asking about, I mean, literally a question has started more than once, why is Trump in such good shape, right? Or they are, you know, putting out conspiracy theories. There are people who, and they are getting a lot of the questions. There are some of the people who are in the press pools. This means that reporters who are there to cover MBS being at the White House or to cover Zelensky being at the White House or to ask these questions that Mary Bruce fortunately asked yesterday, there are fewer of them. And that is, you don't know that and see that unless you've lived there. But that's a huge, huge problem because it's becoming more of a Kremlin-esque press corps.
Right. And they've invited a lot of reporters from very right-wing media outlets. Yeah. And you're right. They usually say, I forget, there was one example, like, did you ever believe that you would be the peacemaker? I mean, just so. And is.
Oh, my gosh. The level of hypocrisy off the charts. Both women pretending like they could speak and attest to real quality journalism when the two of them have done none of that. You know, we obviously at the earlier part of the show discussed how Jen Psaki was pushing a false story about Ed Martin being prosecuted by the DOJ. That was garbage. She knows that, though. She continued to go out there and push it on her show, drum up the narrative. Zero evidence, but sat there with a straight face and told her audience that this was real. They're no longer gearing up to go to after Adam Schiff. No, no, no. The efforts have since shifted towards those close to the investigation. Lies. All of them are liars. And to sit here and say that they're welcoming those in the right-wing media. No. You see, this is the problem. All of you activists have been able to infiltrate the corporate media world. And so there's only been one narrative. Now that there's all of a sudden a rebuttal with other journalists who might actually ask the other side of the questions, y'all seem to have a problem with that. But the reality of it is you sat there and you allowed it all to play out. Jen Psaki, the woman who was okay with Joe Biden getting questions in advance so that her comms team could go over there and skim through who they want to call next. Oh, and the brain dead president who decided that he needed this. Not only was it a question number one that should be asked, but it was also a name, a pronouncer with a photo. Because he didn't know what he was doing, and you wanted journalists in the corporate media to cover for the man who literally was brain dead and had no brain functioning to be able to understand and how to take questions and communicate with journalists. You can say what you want, but the reality of it is President Trump isn't sitting here and asking for the questions in advance. He's easily accessible to those in the media, constantly taking questions. He's not being shuffled by staffers across the lawn to get on Air Force One every day. He's not sitting there with the seat arrangement. No, it's because he's brain dead. Telling him exactly where to go. Say hello. Who needs a card to tell them to say hello? Yes, someone who's not well. And then the rest of us in the right-wing media showed you those images throughout the entire so-called presidency. And we were the conspiracy theorists. The man who has advanced, what, prostate cancer? Is that what it was now? That suddenly sprung. The rest of us were questioning, why the heck is Joe Biden on vacation every week being shuffled off? The level of hypocrisy would be funny if it wasn't so criminal what they've all done. It wasn't so criminal. Hey, but if you're looking for a good laugh, let's give it to you. In clip 13, I want to play this for you because Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, who might actually lose her district because the congressional maps in Texas might be approved for the next upcoming election. Now she's considering, oh, I'm going to run for Senate. Listen to this, because she somehow, some way, thinks she could take on Ken Paxton. Listen.
I am still thinking about running. We did get our polling back, so we are moving on to the next phase to determine whether or not this is would make sense in the moment, and if the infrastructure can be built out in the way that I see it being necessary to actually be able to win, as well as we are continuing to look at the polling on the other side. Listen, they are in a civil war right now on the Republican side as it relates to who will become their nominee. You know, John Cornyn has served the state of Texas for decades at this point in time in some capacity. And right now, you know, I don't know if he's MAGA enough to make it through his primary, but we are evaluating all things and seeing what it would look like to put together a team. And we will make a final decision by Thanksgiving on whether or not we're going to ultimately move forward.
What did the polling information that you got back show? I mean, is it a calculation of whether or not you're going to be facing Cornyn, who might have more appeal to moderates in your state, centrists in your state, as opposed to a more MAGA candidate who potentially defeats Cornyn in the primary that you might, or any Democrat might, have a better chance against?
I'll tell you this, that head to head, we are doing really well against Paxton.
Yeah. Are you buying what she's selling? I'm not. There's absolutely no way she's doing really well against Ken Paxton head to head. The woman is a fool, but she's believing it. So I guess on Thanksgiving, we might actually have something else to be thankful for. If Jasmine Crockett throws her hat into the Senate race, that is an easy landslide victory. Easy landslide victory. That woman has never produced a quality good idea that anyone should take up. She's an absolute disgrace to the state of Texas, and that's the reason why we just completely ran her off the map. We don't need her. No one needs her. She's not a representative. She doesn't represent anyone in Texas. Her values do not align with Texans. And if she's really that bold, throw your hat in the race. Let's see what you got. Ken Paxton is an absolute fighter. He would destroy her if they were to go head to head. Ken Paxton actually having a long, long record of being an attorney who goes out there and fights for Texas. Jasmine Crockett's also an attorney, but does she have a long record? Absolutely not. Jasmine Crockett maybe just clinging on to hopes that election fraud might actually help her out. That's the only way that she has a clear avenue to victory there. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because we have our Black Friday sale. It's kicking off early. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. And so you're going to head on over to the shop right now and make sure you get your orders in before we run out of supplies, of course, because we just got methylene red back in stock. And so you're going to want to get that while you still can. Plus, it's also 25% off apparel, which I know is something that everyone is looking for these days, especially for Christmas. Time to stock up on all of your favorite items. I know I have, and I highly recommend you do the very same over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, the Alex Jones Show is kicking off in just a few moments, so do not go anywhere. Alex is up next with plenty of more to expose on the way. I'll see you here again tomorrow.
I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this park. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that. Honestly, I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.